Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. And he's back in the chair. He's back as the only co-host in the chair this week.
The co-hostest with the most.
The co-hostess mm-hmm. who killed Megan Phillips in cold blood so that she wouldn't threaten his supremacy on this podcast.
She also was talking a lot. It was
that's sort of my thing, so couldn't it stand for that? What percentage of our listeners do you think we lost after that two-part episode?
It's two digits. It's two digits. It's,
and that's and for yeah. us, that's a big percentage. Yeah, that was something. Did you have fun?
Oh, I had a blast. I had a great time. It was like a month ago, too, so.
It was so long ago. That's good. How anything to report since we did this last 2 weeks?
Yeah, okay. So, I want to get this off my chest.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, sorry I asked.
I started digging a little deeper at that website I sent you. And I don't know if it's on the up and up.
Got to be a little more specific.
Okay, I'm sorry. For the at-home listener that wasn't in me and Clayton's private text conversation somehow. I sent Clayton a link to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up because I did have questions.
Okay, I'll bring it up. Okay, so yeah. I sent Clayton a link to some veterinary equipment that I found
That's
interesting.
That's not what it's called. Would you like to use the term that they use in the article?
I'll get to it. The term gives it away a little bit. I sent Clayton a link to some veterinary equipment that I thought he might find interesting, along with some testimonials and the history of the veterinary equipment. I should say that the veterinary equipment is called the Horse Annihilator, first off. And the more I went digging on that website, the more I don't believe that the annihilation of surplus equine, as they put it.
Their words, yeah, not yours.
Not mine, yeah. I don't believe the... The surplus equine problem is such a problem that requires the use of AI, which I did. That was the part that got me. I thought, I don't know if this is a real thing anymore.
First of all, I want to say I was in a pretty high level meeting at my job when you sent this, and it made that meeting very difficult to focus on. Secondly, I would say, I don't know if that's necessarily true because there are now, I don't know if, historically speaking, you would look at the horse population and say we have a glut of horses, but we don't use horses much anymore.
It's a good point. Yeah.
You'll notice they haven't pulled carts around this part of the world for a couple decades.
You make a good point. They live forever. They live for like 25, 30 years, something like that. I can imagine there was a pretty, pretty ugly transition period there where all of a sudden, oh no, too many horses, mm-hmm. you know? And so old Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla, you know, they put the inventing caps on and they thought, what can we do to solve this societal problem?
Yeah. Famous colleagues and genial coworkers, Edison and Tesla.
They invented some sort of contraption The website doesn't give any sort of description of what occurs inside of the Horse Annihilator machine, only that it's humane and mechanical.
It's called the Horse Annihilator. And here's a suggestion, perhaps, mm-hmm. or a theory, I guess you could call it. Maybe AI, in this case, is a term they used back then, in the olden days. Maybe it's not artificial intelligence. Maybe it stands for Axe Engine. That's not impossible.
It could just be a shortened form of Annihilator. I mean, I don't know. It could be the, back then they didn't have a whole lot of time. It was the Industrial Revolution. They were trying to squeeze every second out of the day they could. I don't have time for this, like, 17-syllable word.
Let me ask you a question. How did you find petcaresworld.com?
You know what? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what leads us down into the rabbit hole some days?
All right. Great. You have any final thoughts about
Horse
Annihilators? And what am I looking at a picture of? What's at the top of this page?
It looks like it's someone who's sitting at the controls of a Horse Annihilator, but that one appears to be a double Horse Annihilator.
Because efficiency is key. Yeah. Now, he looks like he's about ready to umpire a U.S. Open game, except it's the annihilation of horses. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well,
petcaresworld.com if you want to see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Taking care of pets all over the world. No, not like
take
that.
Take care of them, you know. Oh, man. Well, thank you, as always, for sending me that sort of link right smack dab in the middle of my workday.
And thank you for not getting upset whenever I blatantly ignore your do not disturb flag that you clearly have on your text messages.
I've come to learn that it means nothing to certain people, you chief among them.
Yeah, absolutely. It could say, do not disturb, I am fending off wildlife. And I'd be like, yeah, but maybe this could help.
I am fighting an aerial raptor right now and is only attracted to the buzz of a phone. Please do not text me, Patrick.
Maybe you could lure him into the annihilator.
I'm cutting back on my alcohol intake just to be healthier this year.
Oh.
And I've replaced that with interesting teas.
Okay.
That's my whole personality now.
Okay. You think that's going to be good for the podcast or?
No.
Okay.
No, but you know what? We've worked really hard the last few years. And what has this podcast done for us? So now it's my turn to do nothing for the podcast. But this is, so the world of tea straining is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Lots of different fun things you can do. And this is my little guy that I use to strain my tea now.
Oh, he's a little spooky guy. Okay.
He's the Grim Steeper.
Okay.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him a lot.
Okay. That's good. Good for you. I guess it probably will make reading the notes easier.
It's going to make it so I don't slur quite as many of the consonants toward the end, which I think will be really a net benefit for the whole podcast.
Oh, we're going to get into so many more Polish ghosts now.
My tongue feels ready.
Ready for the Poles. Anyway.
all right. So one last thing before we go on, we've got to earn some money. Is this ghost sponsored by Smart Labels?
Whoa.
We're so deep into January now. Mm-hmm. So deep into January. Everything is being put away.
Yes.
Everything.
If it hasn't been thrown away in a fit of rage.
It's time to put it away.
Time to put it away now. Mm-hmm. Whatever you didn't burn in the front yard, you gotta do something with it.
And for some of you, depending on your municipality and kind of the rules there, for things you did burn in the front yard, you're gonna want to clean those up. Because sometimes that's frowned upon, and you don't want any evidence. You're gonna want a box for that, and you're gonna remember where that evidence is. So Smart Labels could be for you. It's time to put everything away. It's time to put your decorations away. It's time to do a little winter cleaning. It's been crazy. Mm-hmm. The holidays are a crazy time. Houses get wrecked. It's time to unwreck your house, and Smart Labels can help. Put everything in boxes, put it away, but before you put it away, you want to put a Smart Label on that box. It's a color-coded QR code sticker. You slap it on the side, you open up the Smart Labels app, you scan the QR code with the app, and then you just type in, here's what's in this box. Here's the name, the cute little name I'm going to give this box. Here's where I'm going to put this box. Here's a picture of that box in the aforementioned place. And you do all that and you put it away and it's gone. It's out of your face, out of your life until you need it again. And when you need it again, you just open up the app and you type in whatever's in there. You type in bone ashes. I need those bone ashes. I'm doing that ritual tomorrow. Tomorrow is the full moon and I'm doing it and I need the bone ashes. Where did I put the bone ashes? And you just type in bone ashes and it's going to say, oh, this is buried in the backyard, 5 steps east. And then 2 steps south. And that's where you dig, and you'll find it, thanks to Smart Labels. How do you use Smart Labels?
Similar, except I don't bury them in my own yard. Just kind of as a hedge, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to put the address of whose yard I buried it in, and then the north and south direction stuff. Yeah.
It's all in there. Yeah, so one extra step. Mm-hmm. And you can use as many steps as you want when you bury your bone ashes. With Smart Labels. So go to Amazon and you just search Smart Labels. You'll find them. There are so many fun colors. In the live show we did a couple weeks ago, we had some folks in the chat actually who had bought Smart Labels who couldn't believe the fun colors that they came in. They come in cool neon colors. And if 90s aren't your thing, they come in normal colors too. for you. They come in, they come in, come in, come in tradwife colors, if that's more of kind of your thing.
We're looking for the taupe label. That's not taupe, that's bone.
And you can find, I don't know, probably those colors on Amazon. Smart Labels. Thank you, Smart Labels, for your support. They really are a lifesaver. Go check them out. You won't be sorry, and you will, your rituals are going to go off a lot smoother if you know where those bone ashes are. How hot does it have to be for bones to become ashes?
How hot does it have to be?
Yeah.
Like 700, 800.
It's not as much as I would have thought.
No. Celsius. So.
Oh, is that a lot? Is that more
that's,
than?
Yeah, it's a bunch. Woo, that's hot. That's up there.
But they do that in those fires in the in those crematoriums.
They do. That's very easy to achieve. Very easy to achieve.
Yeah. So if they can do it, I can do it. That's my whole philosophy. All right. Are you ready to hear a ghost story?
I need a beer. Give me a second.
You've had so much time. Ow, God, hot. Fuck. Ow.
Ooh. Ooh. Found one.
Thank God. Now, are you ready to hear a ghost story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was ready before for the listening, just not for the...
I thought about getting started, because we got a ways to go. All right.
He walked out the door, and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. Oldie but a goodie.
Jake Fleagle was born...
I'm sorry.
Yes?
Yeah, that's... That's when you change it, Ellis Island. I'm sorry.
I don't know where that comes from.
Fleagle? Well, it's like, you know, I had a beagle with fleas, and then we decided to name ourselves after it. So
We are nothing if not efficient.
Fleagle.
Jake Fleagle, born on January 1st, 1890, in Garden City, Kansas.
Ooh.
This is in the beautiful western plains of Kansas.
Mm-hmm. I know Garden City well. I've flown into Garden City before.
You... fly into the most disappointing places.
I flew into Garden City, and I had, let me think, I was only going to be there for like 3 days. So I just had a carry-on. That was it. And it was like a teeny, teeny, tiny plane out of Dallas. Like one of those where it's just like two seats in each row. And and so we land, right? And I like skid down the runway, and then... they, you know, throw the door open, everyone piles off of the plane like a city bus or something. And then the pilot gets off at the end, like he makes sure everyone's off the plane. So the pilot gets off, and then he kind of jogs ahead of us because he is running the luggage return at the airport. I said, oh, good. Oh, good.
In this economy, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You got a moonlight.
Yeah. So anyway, they lost the luggage.
I find it hard to believe that the person who put the luggage on the plane, then flew the plane, then took the luggage off the plane, lost the luggage.
Can you imagine if like you and Aaron were going somewhere and like you took luggage from your house and you put it in the car and then you drove the whole way and then you got it out. And then Aaron was like, oh, where's the luggage? And you were like, oh, fuck if I know.
it's hard to say. It's impossible, really. No smart labels on those things. I don't know. They're good as gone.
Exactly. So I was without any luggage at all in Garden City, Kansas for like 3 days. I had to go to Walmart and buy like a whole Walmart of Garden City, Kansas ensemble for the whole week.
So many ill-fitting t-shirts.
Yep. And then I got back to the airport to leave like on Thursday or whatever. And they said, hey, great news. We found your luggage. I said, hey, that's awesome. Put it back in the fucking plane because I'm leaving.
Great news. We put the seats up after they reclined a bit and bag was back there.
Yeah.
All the bags were behind all the seats.
Crazy.
So anyway, that's where he's born. Now, his parents had moved there from Iowa because they're not much for scenery, the Fleagles.
They're ready to move to a little bit bigger municipality.
When it's all said and done, Jake is one of four boys. Mm-hmm. So there's Jake, Ralph, Fred, and Walter.
Okay.
like the Fleagle Boys.
Oh yeah, that's they're gonna be a gang in about three lines, aren't they?
Absolutely. Now Jake was, I believe, the youngest, and when he was old enough to leave Kansas, he did, as so many of us would.
Everyone, yeah.
He heads to San Francisco, where he becomes something of a card shark.
Wow. Okay.
And I will note that it is exactly three lines down from the Fleagle Boys. You're on track. Eventually, one of Jake's older brothers, Ralph, joined him out west, and they got into all sorts of trouble. It's the kind of trouble that sees them having to leave San Francisco pretty soon after Ralph arrives.
The good kind of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what they talk about when they say good trouble, for sure. The boys headed to Oklahoma.
All the way back to Oklahoma.
Oh, you're not going to believe the round trips that these motherfuckers take. Back to Oklahoma.
This is in like the late 19th century? What year is this?
This is 1890. Well, he's born 1890. So this is like 1910.
Every time you cross the Rockies, it's a coin flip at this point in time.
Yeah.
And they're doing just it just because they got in a little too much trouble in San Francisco.
I think that speaks maybe to how much trouble they got into in San Francisco. We have got to put the Rockies between us. There is no other option. So they go back to Oklahoma, and their habits there, they're not improving, because it's not long before Jake is arrested for burglary. And he's sentenced to 1 year at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary.
Mm-mm-mm.
He serves his time, though. And when he gets out, Ralph is there waiting for him. Now, it doesn't seem like a good idea to stick around Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, there's 40-ish states at this point. So even if you cross one off every couple of years, you're not going to get through them all.
No, you're pretty good. So they go back. Let's see. They go east again. They head back home to Garden City.
Mm-hmm.
They move back onto the family farm, where their brothers are still working, and you know, obviously their parents are still running the farm there.
Really ashamed too. Super ashamed these two came home.
Oh yeah. absolutely. Absolutely.
No fatted calf slaughtering this time, guys. I'm sorry.
Is that a teardrop tattoo in the corner of your eye? Oh, son. So they move back to the farm. Not long after they arrived, though, folks nearby, the neighbors and such, such as they were, started noticing that the Fleagles, they suddenly had a new tractor.
Oh, hey.
And then they had an addition put onto their little house.
Okay.
And then not long after that, they doubled their stock of cattle.
Okay.
And
That's how cows work, though, right?
Yeah, they bang.
They double every year. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
So their cup runneth over, and everyone is thinking, well, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. This should suck for everybody. What are you doing having a good time over here?
Yeah. Listen, we're all in this together. We all hate it here. You don't get to like it here. Absolutely not. Eventually, some folks get nosy enough that they ask the Fleagles about their good fortune.
Hmm.
And Ma and Pa Fleagle say that their boys work hard and had done well in the stock market.
Ah.
I want to note, Ma and Pa seem to genuinely believe this.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those where you don't ask a whole lot of questions, you know?
No.
He says stock market, whatever that means, he's done very well with it.
They're the only ones who believe it, though, I think. Because in reality, of course, Jake and Ralph had formed a gang.
Yes.
The Fleagle Gang.
Oh, man. As soon as you said Fleagle, I thought, these guys have to be a gang. There's no way you keep that shit even name without turning into, like, a pretty, pretty aggressive gang.
You got to put that on your jacket.
Yeah. That, or sure, you're all going to become, like, NFL place kickers. That's the only two options I think you have with that last name.
So they start terrorizing. Now, this is important. So they're living in Garden City again, but they start terrorizing the Sacramento Valley.
Okay.
Out in California.
What? There's so much commuting with that. How does that work?
So much. It is, but you don't want to rob where you eat.
Yeah, true. But but what if it's in the same time zone where you eat? Is that an issue? I don't know.
They don't have time zones. Mm-hmm. Counterpoint. No time zones yet.
Hadn't been invented.
Nope. That's a 1958 invention.
It is, indeed. Zones.
So yeah, they're in California. They're just that's where they're doing their thing. They're raiding mostly big money crap games and high stakes poker houses.
Mm-hmm.
And those things I think are pretty well protected. So this is not easy winnings here.
Right. Yeah.
They would go out to California, they'd make a few scores, and then they would run back to Kansas and hide out for a while.
It's a perfect crime, except I've wasted half of my life crawling over the Rockies.
All the money we steal is spent on horses that keep dying as we go up these fucking mountains.
If only there was an easier way to kill these horses.
Wait a minute.
Wait, hang on.
What about axe engines? So this is what they do for a while. They're just going back and forth between Kansas and California. And these guys are pretty good at ganging. They make off with a lot of cash. And in fact, there are historians that estimate that the Flegals were responsible for up to 60% of the heists in Kansas and California during the 1920s.
Oh, wow. Shoo.
Feels like a lot.
That's, yeah. Kansas,
not so much, but yeah, California.
That's a big one there.
Ralph's pretty weird with his money. He mostly spends his time burying it.
Hey, takes all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a weird one.
He buries some in California. He buries some in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Buries some in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
He buries some in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
He's burying it all over the place.
Right. And this is, again, this is well before smart labels were invented. So this is not.
So this is. Jake, though, he's a little more fun. He's a philanderer and a drinker.
Ah.
He's our boy. He likes to live it up. But he also, he spent his money, but he also, he grew a pretty sizable bank account before long. And after a while, their parents were finally like, is this money really from the stock market? And Jake and Ralph were like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the parents are like, really? So the boys decide, you know what? It's time to move out. Mom and dad,
they're getting very bummers. They're getting very suspicious. And I don't want to have to knock off mom. I really don't.
No, no. She makes the best biscuits. Yeah. And I don't want to live without that. So it's time to move out. And the boys rent a house together, not too far from their parents' farm, but far enough where they can be a big grown-up gang without mom bringing sandwiches to their door and stuff. Now, let's see. Now they have privacy to plan the robberies, right? So now things are going really well because now they can just like plan all day long. Don't like, you know, pretend to milk cows or whatever they did.
On the big table farm. With the risk board.
Mm-hmm.
And the little like riding crops pushing the...
That's what I was going to
say. I know, crops. Right?
Where do you find those?
I don't know. Some sort of like a horse tack store, you know?
Yeah, where you have to go like on a cruise ship and get to steal the shuffleboard. Let's see. The specific members of the Flegal gang, they change up every now and then. The only two constants are, of course, Jake and Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jake is younger, but he is the leader of the gang. And lead them, he does. Right into the big old bright light of prosperity. Flegal gang is doing great for themselves. They are top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to suggest that perhaps nothing can bring them down.
End of podcast.
Not a ghost story today. Just a cool story about brothers. So this all brings us to May 23rd, 1928. Jake had his eye on. First National.
You want some silence to try and redo the whole thing?
Yeah, Jeremy, do me a favor. Just make this sound really good. Jake had his eye on the First National Bank in Lamar, Colorado for some time.
I love the curveballs. I love pitching Jeremy curveballs.
I think Jeremy really loves it, too.
I'm sure he does.
I've been reading his messages in the Discord, and he's pretty excited about about those.
This one's going on the resume. That's not fucked up he was.
Sometimes I think Jeremy doesn't remember that we read the Discord. So he's been eyeing the First National Bank in Lamar, Colorado for a while. Now, he and his brother, along with a gang member named George Absher, mm-hmm. also known as Bill Messick.
Mm.
In case that's interesting to you.
Not really, but it makes sense. You'd want several names.
You would. Now, that one does not come back up in this story, so you don't have to remember it.
Okay, I won't.
Good. They had scouted the bank a few times over the last several months, and they had been inside the bank and everything, so they knew its layout.
Mm-hmm.
They know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally decided to make the run at the First National, they figured it was a job for no less than four men. So they recruit another man, Howard Heavy Royston.
Not the brains of the operation, though.
No.
No.
But you do need someone to sit on the safe hard enough to crack the safe. That's how safe cracking works.
I need you to bite a hole in the side of the safe. That's what Heavy's for!
So Jake and Ralph Flegel, they roll into Lamar, Colorado with a plan to rob the First National Bank. I already read that. Why do I have these notes twice? Look at that. Oh, here we go. Lamar, Colorado is pretty close to the Kansas state line. And so on May 23rd, 1928, the boys meet up at a ranch near Marenthal, Kansas. Now, this may have been their ranch, their property. I'm not sure, and I didn't really bother to spend more time finding out. So,
I don't know if I would buy the ranch next to the bank I'm going to rob.
No. It's pretty far, though, from the bank.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 6 hours out.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. We're not dealing with a bunch of idiots here. They know what they're doing. So they gather at Marenthal, Kansas, and they leave Marenthal at 3 a.m. in a stolen car. And they have license plates from Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, and California.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So they know what they're doing. They also have a whole lot of guns.
Even better.
Yeah, way better than license plates. Guns. You know how close you have to be to someone to kill them with a license plate? Really hard to do. Guns are a way better option. Now, this is a six-hour drive, which is just fine with the boys because the plan required them to wait until the afternoon to commit the robbery. So they eventually get to Lamar. They meet up with a man named Corazon Gordillo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had gone a few days earlier to case the bank. Just to make sure, you know, it's good to go. Gargillo is not a member of the gang. He had just come recommended by one of their contacts. He'd recently been released from San Quentin.
Hey.
It's a work program that they're offering. So he's there, and he checks out the bank, and he's like, oh, you guys are super good to go. And they're like, well, that's great news. So right around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Flegel gang enters the First National Bank. And as soon as they enter, they see why Gargullo had been so excited. The bank teller is a man named E.A. Lundgren, and he has one arm.
Ah.
So it was particularly hilarious and cruel when Jake shouts, hands up! And the people inside the bank panic, right? There are customers, there are other tellers. Everyone's panicking. There's a lot of noise, a lot of confusion. In the confusion, the bank president, who's there, his name is A.N. Parrish.
Mm-hmm. All these banking people with just two initials. Is that like, that's a banking thing?
Yeah. Should we start calling you P.T. Dean?
It's pretty good, actually.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
You should work at a bank.
Maybe I should.
You should work at the bank.
Chop off one of these arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That guy probably does okay. Let's find out. So President A.N. Parrish, P-A-R-R-I-S-H, not P-E-R-I-S-H. Don't read anything into the last name.
I'll update that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just in case you're wondering if he's going to die or not. It's not. This isn't like a foreshadowing last name. Mm-hmm. Parrish, he ducks into his office. He pulls out a Colt 45 that he has named Old Betsy. He runs back out and he fires a shot at the gang, and the shot from Old Betsy takes off Heavy Royston's jaw.
Oh!
And that's quite now the pistol. He's gonna.
No, that's quite the pistol right there.
That's a Colt 45, my friend. He is gonna have a hard time biting that safe open now.
Yeah,
that's not what you want.
That's the first step of the plane is went right down the tubes right there.
No, they pick up the jaw and they're trying to glue it on. So this is when all hell breaks loose. The robbers are screaming at the customers, telling them to get on the floor. Absher would later say, quote,
some of the robbers are. One of the robbers is not young. Oh,
Absher would later say, quote, I grabs hold of the man standing alongside of me, shoved him to the floor, told him to get down. I wanted them out of the way of the bullets.
Seems nice.
Yeah, and I assume he's talking about his bullets. Yeah. Not, you know, exactly. So there's a shootout, of course, and Parrish, the bank president, he's shot and killed.
Oh, well, maybe you should change his name then. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Now Parrish's son, he has a son there whose name is Jatto Parrish.
Okay. And he chose to keep that one, not go with the two initial thing.
There was one of the sources did use initials. It was J B Parrish or something, but. Jatto is it's too good to initialize. So Jatto's there. He's working at the bank, and he also is killed in the gunfire. So you're chopping down that family tree real quick. Now they've killed the president. They've killed the president's son. One of the things that this does to their benefit is it convinces the other bank employees like maybe these guys mean business. So they decide to lie down and not put up.
That's probably a good fight. Idea. Yeah,
I think so.
None of this is my money. I'm already missing an arm. I don't need to get the other one blown off.
And the person whose money it is primarily is not coming back for it from the dead. So
he's not going to be mad. I promise. In fact, can I have some of the money too?
So the Flegels load up pillowcases with their haul, which amounts in total to $10,664 in cash.
Oof.
$12,400 in Liberty bonds.
Okay, that's like cash.
It's like cash. And almost $200,000 in commercial paper.
Okay, that I don't understand.
I did not either. So this is like a promissory note, it sounds like.
Okay. This
doesn't seem very liquid.
Right, which year is this again?
This is 1928?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
1928.
Okay, so that's not going to be worth a whole bunch in a few months.
You're going to want to cash that in really quick. So if you calculate for present day, the cash alone, that $10,000 in cash, is now worth about $200,000. Mm-hmm. Liberty bonds are a little bit more than that. And then if you can do something with this commercial paper, like that's, you're in the millions easily. So it's a good haul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original plan was to take Jatto Parrish hostage. Because they figured his dad wouldn't pursue them to risk his son's life.
Right. But, you know, two birds, several stones, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No so, it's, yeah, his dad's still not going to pursue them.
Correct. Yes.
So that's a bonus. but now Jatto, of course, is dead. Dad's dead. So that plan is moot now. So they just grab two other random hostages.
Oh.
You need hostages.
Sure. Yeah, of course you do.
Just going to go with no hostages.
What are you going to do? Just, like, leave?
Like, what are you going to do? Weekend at Bernie, the son? So they grab two hostages. They grab Lundgren, the one-armed bank teller. And they grab another teller named Everett Kessinger. Now they exit through a back door and they jump into their car. The car is a blue 1927 Buick Master 6. And they hightail it out of town.
Oof.
The sheriff is on them pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a car chase. During the car chase, the Flegels let Lundgren go.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly how this played out. I guess they're like, this guy's got one. Yeah. We have to let this guy go. Like this poor fucking bastard. So at some point they stop and let him out.
This guy's like impossible to cuff. I don't know. I keep doing it and he keeps slipping right out of him.
Fucking Houdini over here. Get rid of this guy. So they let him out. And then of course, Kessinger is like, well, can I go?
Yeah.
Kessinger tells him he has a wife and a new baby.
Mm.
and he would really like to leave, please.
Yeah, my wife will be so mad. So mad.
Very angry.
Also, some of this is her money, so she's going to be real angry regardless of how I get home today.
But of course, they're like, no, dude, you are hostage number one now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw what happened, but we let the other one go, so it's just you. So they make him ride on the floor of the back seat. He does not get to go. Mm. And we've got Heavy Royston sitting in the passenger seat, using a pillowcase to catch the blood from his shot-off jaw.
That is... I'm sorry. That's just gross.
It is gross. I don't know if he realized how gross how off-putting he was being, just bleeding all over the place with his removed jaw. So at a railroad crossing just northeast of Lamar, they're still being chased, right? The Flegals manage to, quote, disable the sheriff's car with their rifles. So, I don't know, maybe shot out a tire or something.
Yeah, 1920s vehicle. I mean, you might just be able to throw a rifle at it, and they might have just disabled it at that point.
Give me a license plate! Yeah. So, they disable the sheriff's car. They get away clean. The gang drives back to Kansas. They're back at the ranch in Marienthal by nightfall.
Cool.
Yeah.
According to plan. Now, two issues I'm seeing here.
Yeah. First, number one, Royston needs a lot of medical attention. Yes. Yeah.
And not like ranch hand medical attention, like no. Real medical attention.
No, he does not need to be inseminated. Right. He needs a real doctor. They find a doctor in a nearby town. The doctor's name is W.W. Weininger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So yeah.
W.W.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just go by that.
So Ralph goes to his house. He tells him, you've got to come with me. A young boy's foot has been crushed by a tractor, and we need your help.
Oh, this doctor's too smart. He's going to know when he gets there. That's not the foot.
You know, I didn't go to medical school for nothing, sons. And this man over here is not a boy, and his foot is fine.
Yeah. Now, his upper foot does appear to be bleeding. So
good thing you brought me out here. You were mistaken about the foot, but thank God, because he needs medical attention, son.
We should get a doctor. Yes,
Weininger gets there. He sees Royston. He's annoyed that they lied to him, but he does treat the wounds anyway. Mm-hmm. So he helps Royston best he can. Once he's finished, the gang ties him up, blindfolds him, takes him down the road, shoots him in the back of the head with a shotgun, rolls his body into his Buick into a ravine north of Scott City, Kansas.
That's not great. Also, if you're the hostage, you're not feeling great right now.
We're gonna learn more about the hostage pretty soon.
you're pretty spooked right now.
That's a real wild card. I mean, they let the one guy go, and this guy, they shot in the back of the head at close range with a shotgun.
For helping
I don't know what's going to happen. So, Weininger's car and body would be discovered not too long after this, several days after this, by a Colorado National Guard airplane that's out aiding in the search for the bank robbers. Mm-hmm. So, put a pin in that.
Okay.
Come back to that. So, anyway, the bank robbers are on the loose. Dozens of citizen posses swarm the Kansas-Colorado border looking for the getaway car. Meanwhile, the Flegals, they take their hostage to a shack near Liberal, Kansas, and they shoot him dead.
Oh.
What's the bury his body.
What's the point in taking... I'm still very confused about the taking of the hostages here.
Well, if they had not been able to disable the sheriff's car by throwing a license plate at it, they would need to maybe negotiate with this hostage. You never know what's going to happen.
It's true.
You know, it's just safe. It's insurance.
This is not the lighthearted romp I thought it was going to be at the beginning of the story. So
I don't know what you thought about a 1920s gang being a lighthearted romp. I don't know if you know how these stories go. We might find some bright spots here, though.
Okay,
good. Hang tight.
Good.
Hang tight.
A little gloomy right now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the dark period for sure. So they shoot him. They hide his body under the floorboards of this shack. It takes the police about 3 weeks to discover the body. So, as far as the Flegals are concerned, loose ends, all tied up.
Exactly.
And just like the end of Ocean's 11, every man goes his own way. scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
Absher drives Royston up to Minneapolis, where he has an appointment with a dental surgeon. For whatever good that will do. Mm-hmm. So Absher drops him off there. Then he heads back down to Grand Junction, Colorado. That's where he camps out.
Mm-hmm.
Royston eventually gets, you know, as as fixed up as mm-hmm. possible. Then he heads out to San Andreas, California. Ralph goes to San Francisco. And Jake winds up in Stockton, California.
Oh, okay. Got their big payday.
Uh-huh.
They're heading west.
Uh-huh.
Spend it all.
This has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? Thank you for joining us. 13 months later, Jake is arrested by Detective Paul Kyle because Jake has a whole cache of weapons in his house.
Oh.
Unrelated. Yeah. They don't know who robbed the bank, of
course.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they take him in and just so you know, here is his mugshot.
Okay. Very unassuming. Does not look like the kind of person who would murder two hostages for shits and giggles.
No, I wouldn't say so. No. That's our boy. They also do a brand new thing called getting his fingerprints.
Oh, that's an exciting development. Okay.
It is. So this is 1929. And the FBI, which at this point is just called the Bureau of Investigation, but mm-hmm. we'll call them the FBI just right. for, you know. They had started an official nationwide repository of fingerprints just a few years earlier in 1924. This is a new technology mm-hmm. for them. Now, it doesn't really bother Jake that they're taking his fingerprints because this is the first time he's been fingerprinted.
Sure.
So whatever, who cares?
He has as many questions as anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Is this ever going to wash off my fingers?
Yeah. This tastes
These are my
terrible.
Magic fingers. So the Stockton police send his fingerprints into the Bureau. The Bureau does their thing. They're checking them against prints they have on file. But this is, of course, before computers. Yeah. So this takes a long fucking time.
It's like four girls in a basement somewhere just holding up mimeographs to a light bulb. Kinda, I guess. This one has four. It could be it.
This has to be how this works. Yeah. It sounds awful. So this takes a while. And of course, meanwhile, the Stockton police, they release Jake. But a few weeks later, or maybe 2 months later, whenever the FBI gets through with this, they get a call from the Bureau. And the Bureau is like, hey, who's Jake Fliegel? And the cops there are like, I don't know. He's a guy with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you ask? And it turns out, after the robbery of the First National Bank, when the gang had killed Dr. Weininger and thrown him in the back of his car, someone had left a bloody fingerprint on one of the car windows.
Mm.
And that fingerprint, at the time, had been logged in as a John Doe in the FBI files. And son of a bitch, they match that fingerprint to the new fingerprints from Jake Fliegel. Well, the Stockton police are so embarrassed. They just let him go, and they have no idea where he is now.
The good news is any good defense lawyer is going to get this written off as witchcraft in the 1920s. This is... what you're trying to explain to the jury is everyone's fingers are unique, like snowflakes. Like snowflakes, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. So, where are we here? Where are we? Oh, there we are. So, they have no idea where Jake is now. But the FBI has a lead. They know it was the Fliegels, right? So, that's step one. So, they start monitoring Jacob Fliegel Sr. And they start monitoring his mail.
Okay.
So, they go to the dad. They're like, we're going to monitor the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they learn that Ralph Fliegel is sending his parents letters from Kankakee, Illinois.
Oh, God. Why? Everyone else goes to...
Kankakee.
Everyone else with this huge cash money goes to the West Coast to live their lives up. And he's like, no. Kankakee, Illinois. That's
Well, and he initially went to San Francisco. So mm-hmm. I don't know what happened in San Fran, but probably all the tech bros Oh, God, I'm going back to Kankakee. So he's there. And so they arrest Ralph. And Ralph flips immediately. And I think they might have arrested the other two brothers as just like bullshit leverage.
Sure, yeah.
And so like, we'll let him go if you confess to this crime and tell us who else is involved.
Horrible crimes you did, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, okay. So he does. He gives up the other three involved in the robbery. Now, of course, they already know about Jake. They've got his fingerprint. Mm. But they didn't know about the other two. So they go after Royston first. He's captured in San Andreas. Looking like fucking Lockjaw from E-Man. And Absher is arrested in Grand Junction. But they can't find Jake. Nowhere to be found.
Okay.
They're still looking for him, of course. But they decide they're not going to wait. They put the other three men on trial in October of 1929. All three men are found guilty and sentenced to hang. And this is supposedly the first time a single fingerprint was ever used to convict someone of a crime. Hmm. Which I find ironic because the fingerprint used to convict them didn't actually belong to any of the people convicted. So that sucks. They appeal, but that doesn't work. And George Absher, Heavy Royston, and Ralph Flegel are all hanged in July of 1930. By the way, I thought you might be interested in seeing this, Patrick.
You have a hanging photo?
Oh, I wish. What a dream. What's happening back there?
Lots of cat fighting.
Lots of ghosts. You ever thought to yourself, I wonder what the coolest ever front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch looked like?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is a wild front page. So for the podcast listeners, it's two men rolling a 1920s coupe off of a cliff, and it says in big letters at the top, bringing the murderous Flegel gang to justice. And then the article is kind of written in the negative space from the photo.
It's amazing. It's more than half image.
Oh yeah.
But it's not like half and half. Yeah, it's just it's amazing. Check it out. It's great. It's real. That's when journalism was journalism. Mm-hmm. So Jake's still on the loose. They really want to catch Jake. They print over 1 million wanted posters. They hang them all over the country. They offer a reward for his capture of $25,000 for information leading to his capture. Which in today's money is almost $500,000.
I was going to say, like, they did not steal that much money from the bank.
No. They really want to catch Jake. So in October of that, what is, Jesus Christ.
Well, they're eating beads. Give me one. Minute.
Okay, sure. The cats, not the children, for anyone listening who might be concerned about Patrick's basement and his family activities.
My apologies.
I like that you tried to reason with them.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sirs. Are you eating beads? So there's a bounty out on his head. Now, in October of that year, a full year and a half after the robbery, the Bureau finally gets a lead. Officers at the U.S. Postal Service use handwriting analysis.
More witchcraft. I don't know if I trust this anymore.
Absolutely. I wouldn't trust that today. It's nonsense. They used it to trace Jake to a little Ozark town called Branson, Missouri.
Oh, man. Never mind. He did make a good choice.
He sure did.
If it's either either the sun and surf of the West Coast or, I don't know, the man-made dammed up lakes of southern Missouri, I know where I'd go.
I know where you do go.
Yeah.
More often than the other. On October 15th, Jake's on a train that runs alongside the White River down in the Branson Holler, which, as you would know, I guess, Patrick, today is kind of near the old downtown Branson.
Oh, yes. Right? The Strip. The Strip. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. No, east of the Strip, there is old downtown Branson.
Oh, old Branson. Oh, okay.
Branson. Oh, man. The Strip is really something. So the train is still a good couple of miles from the station when it comes to a sudden stop. Jake looks out the window and he sees a bunch of men, a whole bunch of men who look suspiciously like federal agents boarding the train. And he thinks, uh-oh. So the feds enter his car. Jake pulls his gun because he's got nothing else to do here.
Yeah.
The feds fire first, hitting Jake in the stomach.
Oh.
If Reservoir Dogs has taught me anything, that's a bad way to go. Here's a quote. The officers failed to make it to the hospital in nearby Springfield, Missouri, before Jake died some 24 hours later.
I guess for listeners at home, Springfield is 45 minutes up the highway at the most, something like that.
Yeah, so even in 1930, I mean, this is not more than like a few hours drive.
You could definitely drag him to Springfield within 24 hours.
So they just let him bleed out and slowly die in Branson.
Oh, well,
which is that's a bad place to go. Now the railroad tracks where Jake was shot and killed were at the time part of the Missouri Pacific Railroad. In 1992, those tracks are bought by the Missouri and Northern Arkansas Railroad, and they're still active today. They've been active the whole time. They stopped running passenger trains decades ago. Mm-hmm. It's been only freight since the middle of the 20th century. But in 1993, some enterprising bald knobber decided to put a tourist train on those tracks. And did you know this was a thing down there?
If this is a train that I took when I went to Silver Dollar City last time.
It's not near Silver Dollar City.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I don't know, maybe have you been down to the Old Branson is now like a strip mall. Like it's a huge, like fancy, like Galleria style.
No, I have
like,
not. Walk around. No, mall. No, we try to stay away from that part whenever we go down there. We try to relax.
We try to go to the place where the waltzing waters are. That's kind of our speed. We want to see Yakov Smirnoff. That's where we like to
We're
go.
More of a Shoji Tabuchi family. I don't know.
So the Branson Scenic Railway is a luxury train. That's their word, not mine. That runs tourists about 80 miles round trip on a sightseeing tour of the Ozarks. And it leaves out of that old downtown Branson station. So I've not taken this train. I know people who have taken this train. Apparently it's fine. It's very fine.
I do believe we were on this. This not part of Silver Dollar City. This is one. It's a double decker train. It's a big, like glass canopy on top of the.
Yep.
Yeah, we took this before.
I bet it's gorgeous. I mean, the Ozarks are. It's it's nice looking country.
It's totally fine.
Yeah,
it's totally fine.
That's a prevailing sentiment.
Yeah, If you grew up in the hills of Missouri, you will wonder desperately why you just spent money to look at more hills of Missouri. But maybe if you're coming to town from, I don't know, the Gobi Desert, Marenthal, it might be Kansas. Interesting for you. I don't know, but
so you're not recommending.
It was not going to do that one again. Once was enough. Once was probably too many.
We might have some business reasons to go.
Okay. So, might be write this whole trip off.
finally, after all the money I've spent traveling to Branson, I can finally write some off. I was trying to think how many times I've been to Branson. Mm-hmm. And I'm ashamed to say, I think it must be over 30.
Oh, that's too many.
Oh. Because we would go there, I mean, more than once a year, like my whole childhood. Mm-hmm. And then since then, it's been like once at least every 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot. That's a lot of Branson.
Buddy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so where are we at here? So luxury, so the train. So the passengers are back now. They ride for about 90 minutes at a time. And ever since the scenic starts running, people are reporting strange things on the tracks.
Oh.
Every now and then, during the twilight hours specifically, during twilight runs, someone will look out the window along the tracks and see Jake Fleagle standing there on the siding, watching the train go by.
Bleeding profusely out of his stomach, or?
He is dressed in his 1930s suit. He's got a bullet hole in his stomach. Oh. There's blood pouring out of that and also out of his mouth.
Is he waving? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
He's ringing the bell.
The conductor told me I could ring the bell. Oh. He watches the train go by, and then he just vanishes. Freight conductors have seen them too. There are over a dozen official reports on the Missouri and Northern Arkansas Railroad's books of train employees seeing the bloody ghost of Jake Fliegel standing alongside the tracks.
Oof.
If you want to see Jake's ghost, you can ride the Branson Scenic Railway just like Patrick did. It's only $29.
Per person.
No discounts for children, I don't think. So that's how they get you. But if you want to see Jake, it's only twilight time, so you have to do the fancy dinner train.
Hmm.
You can go and they'll feed you a real. I'm sure it's a meal that they give you.
Got all the food groups in it.
Huh?
Mashed.
Gray. how much do you think it costs per person for the dinner? It's the same. It's the same train ride.
Right. Yeah. Same train ride. Just with train food.
With the mash.
I'm going to say $59 a person.
Oh, you fucking dreamer. $79 a head.
Goodness.
But that's where, hey, it's a small price to pay for seeing the bleeding ghost of Jake Fliegel.
If everyone could please stop eating for the next 30 seconds, we're about to see the bleeding ghost of Jake Fliegel.
Oh, man. And that is the very exciting story of Jake Fliegel, the Branson Railway ghost.
Oof.
And I think what we're going to do for the next couple weeks is we're going to do a bit of an Ozark suite.
Okay.
A few Ozark stories the next few weeks.
I like this.
In the Discord, they were talking about RPGs, like tabletop games,
mm-hmm.
and you know, whether or not we should ever do an Is This a Ghost tabletop game. And I thought, well, if we ever do put one together...
Mm-hmm.
It would be really fun if it took place in the Ozarks. The problem is we don't have any stories that take place in the Ozarks. So I thought if we
build up some lore.
Build up some lore now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So over the next 2 weeks, when I'm telling those stories, if there's something you think would be really cool in a game,
mm-hmm.
you just say it. And then it becomes part of it. So that's the story of the Branson Railway Ghost and the beginning of our Ozark suite, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were taken, were made by Patrick Dean. This is going pretty well. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team is Kai Valonis, Sam Murdoch, Jennifer Jones. And our brand new merchandise team is the folks at Fox and Quill Studio. Go check them out. You can find them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. And they are working on some new designs for us that are going to start rolling out, I don't know, eventually. I don't know how long it takes for actual artists to make actual things. So, but that's quite a list of folks, huh?
I love that every week I learn new things about who's involved with the show. That's my favorite part of it.
Sometimes I tell you, but I just so many this time. I lost track of who's there or not. So thank you to all of them again. Just a reminder, those folks, they do it all just because they want to be involved with the show. And we are, of course, incredibly grateful. We wouldn't be able to do it without them. When we are able to give them some small token of our appreciation, it's because we are able to do that from Ghost Plus. So if you like what you hear on the show, if you want more of it, and if you want to help support our team here, then consider joining Ghost Plus. It's pretty fun. We put up other ghost stories every month that you don't hear anywhere else. Ryan Smith, the producer, and I do a little Smith show, which is kind of like this, except not with ghosts, just with real weird history stuff. And there's a few other surprises that we throw in there every once in a while. The interns are working on their own show.
No.
That I don't really know anything about, but it's coming soon. So don't want to miss out on it. You can go to isthisaghost.com. You'll see the details on Ghost Plus, or you can just go straight to isthisaghost.supercast.com. It's great. You'll like it. It's pretty cheap. thank you. And thank you. And gosh, do not shoot people's jaws off. Do not bury people under floorboards. Do not. If you're gonna, do not put your fingerprint in blood on the glass, because do any of those things, that's a one-way ticket to the next episode of Is This a Ghost?